Thank God for the Word. Amen. We got a little feedback going on here. Thank you, Jesus. I'll just keep talking. You'll find it. I'm glad in our weakness He is strong. You know, I used to prepare messages weekly, twice a week, in the little church I was in Shelby. And wow, I admire Pastor Scott. To go back and do that now, I don't know. Thank God He hadn't called me to do that. I don't think I've ever felt so disjointed as Dan and I were talking this morning. Just so ill-prepared. And I think that's what God wants us to be sometimes, just to use us, to flow through us, to just get us out of the way. Catherine Coleman prayed that, just to be out of the way. God, empty me, Lord God. I don't want to waste your time. I believe the spiritual atmosphere created in this place that we create, that we bring, and we welcome the Holy Spirit. I believe that can change a life quicker than any preacher or singer or praiser or worship team or whatever. The presence of God. I know at my lowest moments, the presence of God has pulled me out of those holes, has pulled me out of the depths. I've seen it happen in people's lives. Thank you for allowing Joanne and I to be a part of this fellowship for like 6 years now, almost 6 years. It's been a blessing. You've welcomed us. It's wonderful to be a part of that. I'm humbled. I'm humbled, very much humbled, that when Pastor Scott's out of town, that he allows me to stand up here and break the bread of life with you. I don't take that lightly. There are far better speakers and people that could be there, but he has a trust in the God in me, and I'm grateful for that. I'm humbled by it. The Word is good. The Word has changed my life. This Bible my mother bought, put my name on it when I was living in the wrong direction. If you have a young person or a loved one, this is something like this, doing this or something like that would be a great step of faith. That's what my mother did. And when I came and asked for a Bible, she handed it to me. She said, "Here, it's got your name on it." And when I was trying to follow God, as I've told some of y'all, and out of fellowship with God, this Bible was on the dashboard of my car. And the anointing of God came on me, and before I got to the end of the bridge, I was driving over, I was completely sober, supernaturally. Slapped that Bible, had my Kenneth Copeland tape and my tape player. For those of you who are under 25, that's like a CD, but it's old. But I patted that thing. I said, "I don't need that anymore. I've got this. I've got God." And when I asked Mom, I said, "You know, I'd like to get an amplified." She said, "Wait right here." And she went back to her bookshelf. When my mother passed away, we had three bookshelves back in her foyer or her hallway that went to her utility room. And they were filled with books and Bibles. Filled. Just falling all over the place. But she went back to that shelf and pulled it. Amplified Bible down, and she says, "I've got your name on this one too, and I've already started underlining in it." And to this day, in both of these Bibles, I'll find her writing. There's a spiritual heritage and legacy that we can leave our children, we can leave people. Do something in faith. I mean, this is for somebody here. Do something in faith. Do something in faith. She was prepared. When I had the question, when I answered it, because when I was about 8 years old, or 11 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood, she turned me over to God for the ministry. Hallelujah. Gary sang Isaiah 61, that song he wrote. I want you to turn to Isaiah 61. Imagine that. I'll have to say, though, that he and I talked about this. From the King James, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Everybody say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he's anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Comfort all that mourn. Comfort. He brings comfort for mourning. Do you see that? Simple. Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Today I want to share a part one. That means there will be a part two. I hope. It's kind of an introduction here. We're going to call this, It's Time to Change Clothes. Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Some people have talked about the great exchange. To me, we just read part of the great exchange. Beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But the great exchange, Christ became as we were, what we were, that we might be as he is now. Because as he is, so are we where? In this world. Colossians chapter 3. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off, everybody say put off.
Put off.
The old man with his deeds, put off, or taken off. You've put off something. Verse 10, and have put on, everybody say put on.
Put on.
The new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now we'll go into this in more detail later on, but let me show you this. Verse 9 says we put off something, and verse 10 says we put on something. Look at the person beside you and say, put off and put on. Well, I was going to use Ryan, but I guess I'll have to use Troy. Come here, Troy, if you don't mind helping me. There we go. Now, I don't know what Troy looks like in his bathrobe, and I don't think I really want to know. This was my father's from the 1970s. Just wrap it around you, Troy.
Yeah, I started to say.
Okay. All right.
This is an image I kind of want to forget. But anyway,
yeah, okay.
These are old clothes, something old. Now think about some of the things that you and I deal with daily in our life that are under the blood of Jesus. That's something we don't have to have. We shouldn't have. Depression, for one thing. Sadness. Fear. Worry. Anxiety. Discouragement. The things that the enemy wants to bring to you can represent the old man, the old clothes. Everybody say, put off the old.
Put off the old.
Put it off. Take it off. Get rid of it. It's gone. When you become a Christian, you've put that off. But you've also put on something else. Look at the person beside you and say, put on. Okay, I was in the entertainment business, sorry. I have no idea to do this, Joanne.
Okay.
Joanne, help me, quick. I'm going to choke him.
You're fine.
This is made for a 7-year-old.
Oh, okay.
Are you choking?
Yeah, that's all right. We'll be all right for the moment.
You look like Dracula. Now he's put on something. It's new. It's flashy. He's put on the new man. They'll put on the clothes of the new man. Put your arms out like this. He's Super Troy. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. You can take it off, yeah.
Okay. It's going to come off on its own anyway.
Thank you. You can be seated. Let's give him a hand clap. All right. You get the image, though. What we're doing, though, is in life is we're walking around dragging these old clothes around with us. They're on us. When we take the care of the world, it's like this. We wear it. We can't see what we're doing. We don't know where we're going. We bump into things. We run into things. It's overshadowing everything in our life. The cares, frustrations, worries, anxieties, fears, discouragements. It's there. Depression, sadness, hopelessness. I'm speaking to somebody in here. This is what you look like in the realm of the spirit when you're, and in the emotional realm when you've got this on you. It's time to get rid of it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So put off, take off the old, put on the new. It's time to change clothes. Easy to read version says, don't lie to each other. You've taken off those old clothes, the person you once were, and the bad things you did then. That's the ERV. Pam, I don't know if you got that or not. Sorry. Amplified says, and have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self. The new spiritual self. All right, so that's what we're going to be talking about. Exchanging what the enemy tries to bring to you and what we want to entertain with what God really wants us to be. All right, let's go back now, Pam, Isaiah 61, verse 3. All right, verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. Planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified, that he might be glorified. So number one, if you're taking notes, number one, this is very simple. Throw off the spirit of heaviness. Put on the spirit of lightness. Joy. The spirit of heaviness is a heavy thing to haul around. But you and I need to put on the garment or wrap ourselves in the garment of praise. Everybody say heaviness.
Heaviness.
Heaviness implies in the original language a darkness. Colorless. Or dark. It could be translated grief. Now, let me share this with you. I've been through grief in my life. I can think back. Thank God for For Your Health,
amen.
That seminar. Listen, if you've not gone through that, I'm a huge, huge supporter of this. Because I can think back to when I went through a divorce. And it would had to be the most gut-wrenching time in my life because there was a child involved. And it was a terrible, terrible thing to walk through, and especially in the ministry. You know why? Because you're judged harshly, more harsh than many times than someone who is a believer. You wouldn't believe, I'm not going to go into all that. You wouldn't believe what I went through. I will say this. Ministers calling me up and crucifying me, and they didn't even know the situation. Judge not that you be not. And that's exactly what happened in some of those situations. But I remember the gut-wrenching feeling I had. I went in my parents' backyard, and I'm back there. This is a terrible picture. But I was beating the ground with my fist. Beating the ground. A complete failure. I remember the heaviness that was on me. I thank God. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. Because he delivered me from that. I carried that around for years. And he delivered me. The grief that I went through with that, the grief that I went through with the death of a loved one, when I found myself again beating something, the wall of a hospital in Pineville, North Carolina, after my father had passed away. And then I caught myself. I'm weeping in this hall, beating the wall, thinking, what am I doing? What is this helping? This is not helping. I'm hurting my hand. My father would not have wanted this. And God gave me all sorts of supernatural things at the end of it. A couple came in, his favorite best friend, he and his wife came in, and they started praising God in this intensive care unit, praising God and worshiping God. And my dad looked at me, and he said, Bert, what's that writing on the wall? I looked at this. There's no writing up there. He said, I don't know. When I take my glasses off, I can read it. I said, what does it say? He never answered me. Oh, I really wanted to know what it was saying. It was probably, welcome home, Al. Here you come on in. I don't know what it said. But heaviness will rob your hope.
Yes.
It'll rob you of hope. It's an oppressive feeling. It'll quench your faith. It can come over many at the same time, like a plague, like over a church or over a city. There's a city I know that I grew up in. I drive through it, and I can feel it. It just latches onto me. It can make you feel alone. But let me tell you something. God wants to bless you in the middle of heaviness. When heaviness is coming on you, He doesn't want you to hang on to it. He wants you to have a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. That's totally irrelevant. That's irrelevant. I remember what Kaylee said. I wrote this down, Kaylee. I was glad to see you here again today. But I wrote this down that she said, don't trust your feelings. Feelings are not the truth. Don't claim the truth as feelings. Or feelings as a truth, rather. I want you to look at the message of Isaiah 61. And Pam, I'm going to just skip down through there. The message version. I don't know if you put that in there or not. Pam is... Let's keep going. We're going to go down to because you got a double dose of trouble. They don't. One more time. Wait. Because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt, your inheritance in the land will be doubled over and your joy go on forever. Joyce Meyer says you get a double for your trouble. Look at the person beside you and say, I got double for my trouble. Your inheritance in the land will be doubled and your joy go on forever. Because I, God, love fair dealing and hate thievery and crime, I'll pay your wages on time and in full and establish my eternal covenant with you. Your descendants will become well known all over. Look at this next line. Your children in foreign countries will be recognized at once as people I have blessed. I've got a child in a foreign country. It's called New York City. It is not Green Creek, nor is it Lynn, North Carolina. It is not anywhere like this. I mean, how many of you ever been to New York? Raise your hand. Hands down. How many of you want to go back? Raise your hand. How many of you want to live there who went there? Oh-ho! It's a foreign country. So I'm thanking God my son is blessed in a foreign country. He'll be recognized as blessed. I will sing for joy, verse 10 and 11 says, in God, I explode in praise from deep in my soul. Look at the person beside you and say, it's time to explode in praise from deep in your soul. He dressed me up in a suit of salvation. He outfitted me in a robe of righteousness. And I think about Matt and Sarah. Is Sarah in here? There she is. I'm so sorry we were in New York and missed your wedding. I'm just so sorry about that. I really wanted to be here. But it says here, as a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo and a bride, a jeweled tiara. And I don't know if you're dressed like that, but I just thought of that when I read that. For as the earth bursts with spring wildflowers and a garden cascades with blossoms, so the Master, God, brings righteousness into full bloom and puts praise on display before the nations. You and I have to, when we get a garment of praise, when we say, I will have a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, it's a choice of our will. We have to say, I will rejoice. Close your eyes and say, I will rejoice. Open your eyes. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. You see, our spirits get excited about Jesus. Not natural solutions. We've got to draw near to God. Draw near to God. 2 Chronicles 15:2. From the Amplified, if you seek Him, inquiring for and of Him, look at this, craving Him as your soul's first necessity. Not just my spirit's first necessity, I love this, my soul's first necessity. He will be found by you. When I got born again at the age of 12-ish, right in there, and 13, right in there, I started trying to live for God. 14, 15, I was going on lay witness missions. I was winning people to Jesus in different churches that they didn't know anything about God either. It was really cool. And by the time I hit 15, something changed in me. And all of a sudden, I began to say, I've got to move in a direction to try to find myself and try to find what I want and try to get peace in this because I was living in turmoil. And in the midst of that, all of a sudden, alcohol, drugs, music, and sailing were four things that were kind of weird that kind of started working. I started moving toward, but when you combine all four of them, it's really strange. And I started moving toward natural ways to try to grasp peace in my life. I couldn't do it. crave him as your soul's first necessity. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Everybody say temporal.
Temporal.
Pam, do you have that one right there? 2 Corinthians 4:18. Maybe not. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Everybody say temporal. The word temporal means subject to change. The devil wants to bring in your life things, and if you look at them and say that's the truth or that's eternal, you've got the wrong glasses on. You got blinders on. What we have in front of us many times is temporal. It's subject to change. The devil is a defeated foe. He wants to destroy you. He wants to just take your joy. But if he can't get your joy, he can't get your strength. You know, Joanne the other day was telling me this, said Satan cannot stand in God's presence. He cannot stand in God's presence. You know why? Because he's defeated. Think about it. Tim, about 2 o'clock this morning, you're going to wake up and say, oh, I got it. Did you get that? Satan cannot stand in... Do I have to say it again, Les? Satan cannot stand in God's presence because he's been defeated. Defeated. No feet. Get it? I'm spelling it out for some of you. Hallelujah. Well, they helped me the other day. I was like, that's right, he's been defeated. And I looked back at her and said, he doesn't have a leg to stand on. And then she said, that's why everybody has to kneel in God's presence. Never mind. All right. No, I need Peter to hit a... Okay. All right. Number two, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I know you know this. What we're talking about is the fruit of the Spirit. What we're talking about is this. There's been a great exchange, and you've been given something new to wear. Get rid of the old. Keep getting rid of the old. Don't let it come back on you. Yes, Joanne and I performed for children and for adults too, but when we go on stage, we change clothes. I have changed clothes in more elaborate places and dirty places and filthy places and behind. I've wrapped myself in a curtain in a school to change clothes. I've done all sorts of things to change clothes to put my, not in this, but to put myself in show clothes, we call it. And when you put yourself in show clothes to perform for people, you have to get a different mindset. And what it does is it, you rely on your training that you've been given. You've been taught, and you've done the show maybe 100 times or however many times, and you know the lines, you know exactly what to do. And when you go on stage, you have to command respect from those people or those children. If you don't, they'll command. So you go on stage and you present this and you lay down the guidelines and you say it like this. We're going to do this, this, and this. We're glad you're here. And you start presenting certain facts and things about how to do this. And as you walk out on that stage, sometimes you're shaken. But you know that God wants you to do this. Every one of us put on clothes that tell the armor of God, that tell the devil, hey, I'm in command, you're not, I'm going to control this situation, no matter what sickness, disease, lies you're throwing at me, I'm not going to let you get the best of me, you're not going to steal my joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength, I will stand on the word. You have that choice. Which one are you going to do? Which one are you going to wear? I'm going to tell you, before For Your Health, I told the Digging Deeper class this, before For Your Health, I had zero issues. Zero issues. Now, Scott and Teresa were going through all sorts of stuff. But I was like, oh, God, this is great. This is the first time I've taught this much in For Your Health. Wow, praise God. In the back of my head, I kept thinking, get ready, get ready, get ready. But since For Your Health, I have had to take a machete in the spirit realm and fight my way through the jungle of fear, doubt, frustration, depression, you name it, I have had to fight through it. The devil is a liar. I'm not up here teaching you something I haven't lived. And recently, I'm going down the river, paddling down the river. A lot of y'all know I like to kayak and canoe, and I'm going down the river, and the thoughts are going bam, 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 bam. And I'm thinking, this is senseless. I've driven 2 hours to get up here and go down this river, and all of a sudden you come up on a bigger rapid, all of a sudden you can't think about all the stuff that the devil's throwing at you. If you do, you're going to mess up. That's right. So what did I do? I just refocused. So it's time for you to refocus on the clothes that you're wearing now, not on what you used to do. It's not, okay, this is definitely for people over 25. You know what a record is? A vinyl record. Vinyl's coming back now. But a vinyl record. It's a CD with... It's big. Never mind. There's a groove in that record. They put grooves in them. That's why they would record the music into different grooves, and it'd go down, and you buy the needle and the record player. So go the turntable, we called it. Now that's something you put on your table and turn it around and get food off of it. But that was 60s. Oh man, I'm really dating myself. But anyway, you play the record, and these grooves would go, and all of a sudden you'd get a skip in the record. Anybody remember that? So you're playing along. That was the way music was supposed to be played. It was analog, not digital. That's my own musician thought. But anyway, you're going along, and it hits that groove, and it hits that skip, and it plays the same thing every time, plays the same thing every time, plays the same thing every time, plays the same thing every time. And it just stops. And unless you put your hand down or push the needle just a little bit, you're not going to get it out of that groove if the groove's deep enough. And that's what happens in our mind. Your mind has grooves in it. It's groovy. I'm not weird. I really am, but it's okay. But it's grooved in there in a certain way that for you to think. And you've got to dig out deeper grooves. You've got to change the grooves. Why don't you just throw it away and start over and get a CD? But anyway, but you've got to dig out the grooves and change the way you're thinking. By putting off the old way of doing things and putting on the new way of doing things. Taking off the clothes that do not work for you anymore. And that's what my son tells me. I am not a fashion person. Obviously, I am not a person who cares about fashion. Stop shaking your head, Claire. I see you. It's really irrelevant to me unless I look stupid or something. And don't say anything. But anyway... But my son is kind of into fashion. He likes to look nice. In New York, it's amazing the way people dress. They dress because that's all they have. I think some of it's like... But he'll look at me and say, Dad, oh, Dad, oh, Dad, Dad, no, no. One time I went on FaceTime on my phone and said, okay, or Skype, or one of them, I said, okay, how does this look? He said, oh, no. Where was I? Anybody remember? I told you this is the most disjointed message I've ever taught. I hope you get some. Anybody get anything out of this? Or, well, five of you. Anybody else? All right. Nehemiah 8:10, we ever there? The joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. The last part of that says, and be not grieved and depressed. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. I was talking about grief a while back. It's okay to grieve. Don't get out of it, though. Don't stay there. I know people have stayed for years grieving about something. Go through the process. But be not grieved and depressed. For the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. Praise God. Depressed is made up of two words. It means of, and pressed. Means to be pressed down or hollow or empty. Have you ever looked into the eyes of someone who's depressed or empty? They're possessing that hollowness. I don't like to share this a lot, but there have been two, maybe three times in my life where I have been depressed. It is a terrible, terrible state to be in. It's terrible. And there's a hollow feeling that comes with it. But God doesn't want you to be sad. He wants you to be happy. There's a sustaining power in joy. And many times depression can start off as oppression. It can work to depression. Then sometimes people end up on medication. And sometimes they lose hope. And what is the devil's pattern there? He wants you to be ineffective for the kingdom of God. Because when you're depressed or you're discouraged or you've lost hope, you can't be effective in anything. Especially for the kingdom of God. And the reason he wants you to be depressed or ineffective for the kingdom of God is because you are a threat. Now, I thank God I'm not pastoring this church. I pray for Scott every day. Every day. It's not that you people are weird or anything. It's just I just pray. I know I've been there. Yeah. But if I were in this pulpit every Sunday, I would probably look at you folks and tell you you're a threat. You are a threat. Look at the person beside you and say, you're a threat. You're a threat. You're a threat to the devil. You're a threat to his kingdom. You are a major threat. And the more words you get in there, you, the more of a threat you are. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want you to succeed. He does not want you to be joyful. He does not want you to be happy. He does not want you to be prosperous. He does not want in any area. He's trying to stop you. Well, I got news. I'm stopping him. Are you listening to me? So don't let the devil get you down. When you know whose you are and who you are a threat to you know who. Did you get that? When you know whose you are and who you are a threat to you know who. Look at the person beside you and say, put a smile on your face. You look better that way. Stand up if you would, please. Stand up. I've lost my signal again. Stand up if you would. Does this mean I'm supposed to stop talking? Here you go. All right. Look at the person beside you and say, thank God.
Thank God.
Now sit down.
Hallelujah.
I don't know. When I was growing up in the church I was in, there was a picture of Jesus on the wall. And he had this smile on his face. And he was kind of emaciated looking. He had two sheep under his arm. That was, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he was that way. The artist, you know, I'm sure he tried to depict something for the little kids like that, like me. But I don't know. Jesus was real. He had camel dung between his toes. I mean, maybe. I mean, he didn't have this clean robe. He just blow-dried his hair and stuff. Two sheep under his arm. He had camel dung between his toes. He walked around that. You ever walked around there? I have. He had leaves in his hair. Well, they're not that many leaves. He had rock dust in his hair. Peter was cutting up in the background. Don't you know that Jesus got a kick out of cooking breakfast for him on the shore? Yeah. And Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to shore. I'm sure Jesus was disappointed. He probably wanted him to walk and skip to shore, but he didn't. Look, they had fun. God is a God of fun. He's a good God. He's a God of fun. He has to be. Look at Ed Soleil. But Ed Soleil smiles and he laughs a lot. That impresses sinners. Did you know that? Psalm 16:11 from the Amplified. Psalm 16:11 from the Amplified says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." New International calls them eternal pleasures. CEV translates that, "You make me glad by being near me. Sitting at your right side, I will always be joyful." I will always be joyful. When I'm in the presence of God, I'm going to be joyful. Common English Bible, "You teach me the way of life. In your presence is total celebration." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. In his presence is total celebration. I grew up in Gaffney, South Carolina. Don't hold that against me, but it was a football team, and in the 60s, we won. If you came to Gaffney, you got beat, or you got stabbed, one or the other, but you got beat, don't you? But I grew up, and I remember walking back. You know, my dad worked in a business, in the banking business. He had 50-yard line or 55-yard line tickets for all the home games they provided for him. And I remember walking back with the little seats one day. Here I was, a little kid, and I'm walking back, and I looked at Dad. I said, "You know, we never lose, do we?" We were intent on winning. We were intent on winning. We were intent on winning. But there was total celebration when Gaffney scored a touchdown. Oh, my goodness. And when I grew up and got older and was a teenager, I remember one time I was working on a car outside on a Friday night, and I could hear, I was actually on top of I had a mail truck. It was my car, a mail truck, in high school. It was cool. It really was. I mean, I carried all my band equipment in this mail truck. You drove on the right-hand side. One day I was driving home, and it caught on fire. There was smoke coming out. I thought, oh, this is cool. All right. I could go on about my... Anyway, I was on top of my mail truck, and I had a big sander, and I was sanding the paint off of it, and Gaffney scored a touchdown. And we lived quite a ways from the high school. Not too far, but enough to... And you could hear it. Why? There was total celebration. Well, in God's presence is total celebration. Amen? Amen? You can just write this down. Psalms 2:4. Pam, you don't have this, I don't think. "He who sits on the throne laughs." Yes. Now, he's laughing and scoffing at the kings of the earth. But I love the image of that. God is on his throne laughing. It's because he just saw you, maybe. But I don't know. I mean, you do something stupid. But God laughs. God gets a kick out of us. Well, maybe you're in the middle of something right now. But Jeremiah 29:11 says from the Living Bible, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. You will laugh again." I have looked across the desk counseling people years ago as a pastor and said, "You will laugh again." Amen. Someone looked at me after I went through just hell, I went through depression, and they said, "You will laugh again."
That's right.
Psalms 30, verse 5, "For his anger endures for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You will laugh again." If this message is not for you, it's for somebody you're going to come in contact with, because the world is doing everything they can to stay away from sadness and depression and have a good time. Hallelujah, we've got the good time on the inside.
Amen.
The presence of Almighty God. Luke 6:21, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." That's what it says. You will laugh. You will laugh again. Laughter is a medicine. He's the God of hope. Proverbs 17:22. Are you getting anything? Am I going too fast? I'm sorry. Proverbs 17:22. "A merry heart does good like a medicine," or it's a cure, I like to say. "But a broken spirit dries the bones." God's word says, translation, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but depression drains one's strength." When I was depressed, I did not want to get out of bed. I could have cared less. A good friend of mine who's been a pastor to me for years said, "Why didn't you call me?" I said, "I didn't want to talk to you." Living Bible says, "A cheerful heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit makes one sick." I'll tell you, the other day I was in bed, got up, I was getting ready to get up, and my dad used to say at the lake house up on Lake Wiley, he said, there's spiders would build spider webs everywhere. He said, if you sit still long enough, they'll build a spider web and put you in it. Well, I woke up the other morning, I had a spider web in my beard. I thought that was the strangest thing. You got to laugh at stuff, man. See, the days of your life are clicking away. They are short. This day is so short. And I can hear some of you now saying, "And you're making it shorter." Well, you might as well laugh, because I'm not through yet. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. From the Amplified. We're almost done. Almost. Anyway, Matthew 5, 9, Amplified. "Blessed," look at this, "enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous, with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they shall be called the sons of God." Look, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When I have lost my joy, I'll go back, and many times for me, I go back and say, okay, why am I not joyful? It's because I'm not peaceful. See, a lot of people say joy is expressing and it's just shouting, "Oh, hallelujah, I've got joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The devil doesn't like it. He can sit on attack," and all that stuff. You know, that's from a long time ago. But it was so funny to see those people stand up and hold their backside and go, "Ouch," and then sit back down.
I remember.
You remember. Thank you. There's somebody here who remembers records. And anybody remember Mula Kula, the soft drink that comes from a cow? Anybody at all? No, nobody but me. Okay. Anyway, where was I? Does anybody remember?
No joy if you're not peace.
People think you have to be expressive to have joy. But you know something? Many times I've been so joyful that I've got peace. Oh, hallelujah. And then back to righteousness, if I know who I am in Christ. So what happens is many times if I lose my joy, I go back and say, okay, where did I lose the peace? Why am I not walking in the righteousness? What is the situation? And this is for your health. You go back and say, what was the situation? God, is there some memories or something I'm hanging on to that's stealing my righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? This is good. I'm just hearing this for the first time. Well, kind of. It's coming out this way. So find out and go back and dig around. You know what? The other day I had no joy. I thought, what's wrong? I don't know. It's because I couldn't find peace. I was fearful. And I thought, what am I fearful about? I went back, and if I'm fearful, I'm in sin, so I'm not walking in righteousness. What is this memory? God, speak to me. What is it? I went back to when I was afraid of swimming. I was hanging onto the side of the pool. My mother was so embarrassed. I embarrassed my parents so much. I'm hanging on the side of the pool screaming her name. Mama! Mama! Well, that wasn't her name, but it was her name. And I was afraid. I was afraid. I was hanging on the water. I couldn't touch the bottom. Help! Help! As a kid trying to take swimming lessons. And I went back to that memory. I thought, I got to dig around in that memory. There's something there. I found it. Boom. Repented of it. Forgave my mother, who finally paid a kid a quarter to push me in. I'm not sure the logic of that, but I haven't been out of the water since. And went back, and all of a sudden I realized I'd forgiven of the sins. I'm walking in righteousness. Oh, I've got the peace back. Oh, now I've got joy again.
Yeah.
Hello?
That's right.
That's how this works. That's one way it works. Regardless of their outward conditions, are the makers and maintainers of peace. When we maintain our peace, we can maintain our peace when we've got joy, they shall be called the sons of God. So, laughter will bring healing to your life, but you've got to break the spirit of heaviness. We're going to do that today. Psalms 30, verse 11. Contemporary English Bible, or whatever, that CEB, rather. You changed my mourning into dancing. You took off my funeral clothes and dressed me up in joy. Dressed me up in joy. Now, I struggled with this message. As you can probably tell, it's very disjointed. But I'm learning, and it really doesn't matter. Because I believe there's some people in here that it's ministered to, and we're going to get into other fruit of the Spirit, because this is about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace, and on and on. And we're going to pray right now. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed. If you're here and sadness, hopelessness, fear, discouragement, uncertainty, depression, whatever has been attacking you, stand up. It's okay. There's more than that. There's more than that. Now, you see, the reason I fought this, Aaron, was because I thought, there's going to be just a handful of people. Lord, why do you want me to stay on this? It's because what I thought I was going to minister was much, much broader. But God doesn't want you to suffer anymore, just like He didn't want Sherry to be against that wall financially. God's going to use you, maybe this week or this month, if you're not standing up, He's going to use you to pray for these people right now. And He's going to use you because out there, outside these double doors, as Pastor Scott says, to minister to people with a smile. I started smiling at people the other day, and it was incredible the reaction I got. Some of them wouldn't even look at me. Some of them thought I was weird. A lot of people think that. I don't care anymore. I'm past 50 years old. It's wonderful. I'm almost 60. That's even better. You don't need to live like this. You don't need to, if it's attacking you, you don't need to stay there. You recognize it. And when you're under the influence of this, don't believe anything negative. And you wrap yourself up in praise is what that really means. Put on the garment of praise with the spirit of heaviness. You're dealing with heaviness right now. God loves you. He doesn't want you to stand like this. He loves you so much. He loves you, Patty. He loves you. We've got to love ourselves because we're God's creation. We've got to understand that love. When there's fear, perfect love casts out fear. When I'm in fear, I've found myself shaking in fear for no logical reason. It was a spirit that was assigned to me and throwing fear at me, whether it's fear, discouragement, depression, hopelessness, whatever it is. Those spirits come against you. You've got to stand against them, and your brain, and you're weak and you're tired, but your brain is standing there throwing all these thoughts at you, which make zero sense. What if? What if? What if? What if? That's why I turn around and say, what if? What if God came on the scene? He's going to come on the scene right now. But when we pray, you're going to have to walk this out and stand against it. You can do this. You can do this now. I'm telling you, I tell my son that. You can do this. You can do it. You can do this because you can do it in Christ. Somebody said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down. I said, I wish you'd shut up and let me sit down.